And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch on your community radio station, Missionary Radio. And we thank you so much for joining us. Bing Burbist across the way. Good morning, Bing.
Good morning, Brian.
And of course, this is Brian Sidebottom, or on Thursdays, Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first, as Ken likes to call me.
Just one day a week. That's
it. Just one day a week.
All right.
Well, yeah. That's good. And I told him the other day, Bing, I said, he made up some new liners and stuff, and I said I was really disappointed that you didn't put Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first.
Oh,
but he said he's going to try to get me one made.
Okay,
just for the fun of
that's
it.
That's good.
So. Oh, me!
You can extend that name to four or five.
That's it. That's it. There you go.
All right.
What about this weather, Bing?
Oh my goodness,
it's beautiful, right?
Wasn't it just a few weeks ago we were under heat indexes?
Yes,
and you could barely stand to be outside.
Oh goodness!
And we just had just a blessing of some cooler mornings today. 50.
Oh man,
50
feels so good out there.
Yeah. It looks like for the rest of this week, it's going to be under a low. We're going to have some cooler temperatures.
It's going to be very, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm thankful
but
for that.
We need some rain.
Well, just bring it up to the Lord.
Just bring it up to the Lord.
I'm sure there are probably people out there, a lot of farmers included, that are praying for rain. And we can do that. We can ask the Lord, bring rain.
That's right.
Father, thank you. Thank you for being the man, the God, the person that we can come to and ask.
Amen.
Would you unleash the rain from your clouds? Will you bring rain clouds into our area and give us some moisture? Lord, lift the fire bans that are around us because it is dry. And people are out, and I know it's not a big concern for you, God, but for people in neighborhoods, as I pass through, there are sprinkler systems going everywhere. They want to keep that grass green. But, Lord, we just pray that you will do what you can do best, and that is provide everything that we need, and that's including, at times, rain for the crops, for the farmers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All
amen.
Right.
Well, Bing, where are we picking up today?
We are not picking up anywhere. We're going to
start.
We're
going to
till some new ground.
Oh, okay.
Probably you're not going to get too excited about this, but I think it can be interesting to look at. We're going to actually open up Matthew, and we're going to go through Matthew 1, which is including a genealogy
of
Jesus.
Okay.
And actually, the genealogy of Jesus will take us to a look at his birth, even prior to his birth, going back to Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. King David and Abraham are two men that are mentioned in the very first verse of Matthew 1:1, and we'll see the significance of those two and why they're mentioned first. So it'll be a good study, hopefully.
We are so grateful for you, our faithful listeners, who pray, give, and share in the mission of spreading the gospel every single day. Because of your generosity, lives are being touched with the hope of Jesus Christ through Missionary Radio.
But like many ministries, summer giving is significantly down, in some cases by 50%. As a 100% listener-funded ministry, we depend on your support to stay strong. Would you consider helping today?
Give securely at missionary.radio. Use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment Systems or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, Post Office Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky 42241.
Thank you for standing with us. Your support makes it possible to keep sharing the good news on the airways. Together, we're making an eternal difference. We're 100% listener-funded and community-minded Missionary Radio in partnership with TWR.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
And of course, welcome back to our Front Porch program here on Missionary Radio, your community station. And we got Bing Verbist in with us this morning.
I'm glad to be here. Honored to be here. And I would like to share this message today. We'll start off in Matthew, as we said before the break, Matthew 1:1. This is the very first book in the New Testament. And we may just kind of work our way through the Gospels. I don't know exactly the direction we'll take. But anyway, Matthew 1:1 tells us this, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Okay, very simple start. And we look at that word Christ, and in the Greek it is Christos, which means anointed. the book of the generation of Jesus the Anointed, telling us this obscure man who was born in a lowly stable in Bethlehem was anointed by God before his birth to do many wonderful things during his lifetime, to fulfill well over 300. Some people even say that it's close to 500 prophecies about the Jewish Messiah. I've never counted them, but I would believe well over 300 prophecies. The Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus Christ as Jehovah's King. God put Jesus Christ here on this earth to be the king that would one day rule the earth.
Amen.
Jesus of Nazareth, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived and breathed upon this earth for 33 years, was anointed by God not only to be the king of this earth, but to be the eternal king of his chosen people, the children of Israel. Also was fulfilled by him as prophesied in the Bible. And the very first question, and I love this with Matthew, the very first question in the New Testament can be found in the book of Matthew, and we see it in Matthew 2:2. And it goes along with this king. When the wise men came to Jerusalem and asked Herod a question, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" That's what the wise men asked Herod when they came to Jerusalem. So Matthew 1:1 again says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, and it goes on to say this, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Before we get into the genealogy, it says the son of David and the son of Abraham. So we see here in this very first verse of the very first book in the New Testament, besides Jesus' name, we see David's name and Abraham's name. So what made these two men so special? What did David and Abraham each receive from God while they were alive upon this earth? Well, I'll tell you, they both received promises from God Almighty, who created the heavens and earth and who oversees the history of man upon this earth. But more than promises, Brian, they were called covenants. You may have heard of the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant. They both received unconditional covenants from God. Now, we see David mentioned first. And who was David? Who was David, Brian?
He was a king.
He was the king of Israel. He was Israel's greatest king. What about his heart? He had a heart for who?
For God.
For God. That's right. We're told that in Scripture. And David's greatest desire during his lifetime was to build God a tabernacle here on earth. And not just anywhere here on earth, but he wanted to build God a tabernacle in the city of Jerusalem. Did David ever build God that tabernacle? No, he didn't. God said, "You, David," and this is paraphrased, will not build me a tabernacle, but it will be built by your son. And we, if you read the Bible, find that's exactly what happened. David's son Solomon did build God the most beautiful earthly tabernacle that has ever existed. And what made it the most beautiful earthly tabernacle that ever existed? Well, David built that tabernacle by the plans that his father David gave him, and those were plans that God gave David to give Solomon, and everything was done according to the way God wanted it to be built. So the unconditional promise that David received from God is found in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 13. And this is the promise that God tells David. And he says, "You, David, when your days be fulfilled," okay, "and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name." And that's exactly what David's son Solomon did after he died. But the verse 13 goes on to say, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. And then God uses two words, forever. Okay? That's not speaking to Solomon. When God said, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, that speaks of another son of David.
Mm-hmm.
Who would that be? Be Jesus Christ, the son of David. That is mentioned in the very first verse of Matthew 1. Those who have read the Bible know David's son Jesus Christ is presently building the grandest tabernacle that will ever exist.
Mm-hmm.
And one day in the future, when Jesus is finished with his tabernacle, we're told in Revelation 21:3 this. And the tabernacle I'm talking about is the earthly, the heavenly city of New Jerusalem.
Yes.
And the building blocks of that tabernacle are going to be you and me, living souls, believers in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about. And Revelation 21:3 says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, that's when the New Jerusalem is prophesied to come down to the earth, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, David, Israel's greatest king, is mentioned first in Matthew 1:1 because the eternal king, the anointed one, Jesus Christ, will come through the royal line of Israel as promised by God. And that starts with David.
Mm-hmm.
David begins the royal line.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Abraham's name is mentioned second in Matthew 1:1 because that's where the nation of Israel was birthed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at verse 2. We're told, Abraham begat Isaac. This is the beginning of the genealogy. And Isaac begat Jacob. Okay. Now, do you remember when Jacob wrestled with God and his hip was dislocated? And after he prevailed, and God says, you prevail with God and with men, his name, Jacob, which meant deceiver, was changed to... Do you know the name he was changed to? Israel.
Okay.
Jacob. You can say Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Israel. You could say that.
Okay.
So Jacob is Israel. So verse 2 could end with, and Israel begat Judas and his brethren. Now, how many sons did Israel have? Well, we know he had 12. Okay. These 12 were children of Israel, and that's what these people are called throughout their history. They're the children of Israel and can accurately be called the children of Israel today. So what was the unconditional promise God made to Abraham? We can find that in Genesis 17, 6 through 8, where God tells Abraham this, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations. And then he goes on to say this again, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So the children of Israel are God's people forever and ever and ever.
Yes.
And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. He goes on to say this, all the land of Canaan. So when people are arguing about the borders and the right for Israel to be in that place today, God's already given it to them. And during the millennium, they're going to have all the land of Canaan because God has said that's going to be, as the verse ends, an everlasting possession.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, and I will be their God. That's when God comes down to the earth and dwells there. So this genealogy begins with a man's seed, the seed of Abraham, while the genealogy in Luke, we have two genealogies in the Bible, traces back to the woman's seed.
Okay.
So Matthew's the man's seed, seed of Abraham, and Luke traces back to the woman's seed, and the seed, we can just say, the seed of the Virgin Mary. That was not fertilized by any man, which was fertilized by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So both of these genealogies are certain because both of the genealogies began with an unconditional promise of God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read one more part of that unconditional promise to Abraham found in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. God tells Abraham this, "Get thee out of thy country." He was in Ur of the Chaldeans at this time. "And from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee." And this should caution nations of the world today, because he's God who is the creator of all nations and all people, says, "I will bless them that bless thee, Israel, and curse him that curseth thee, Israel, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Mm-hmm. So this unconditional promise of God to Abraham goes beyond the nation of Israel. It comes through the nation of Israel, but it extends where? To all
over
the families of mm-hmm. the earth, to all nations of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a break from some very encouraging notes that our listening family sends us, which is
pen from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Elton, "My radio's on 89.3 FM both day and night. I sometimes wake up during the night and find myself hearing something I think God wanted me to hear. I am thankful for Missionary Radio, and each and every one of you is in my prayers." From a Clarksville listener, "I appreciate you all." And from Hopkinsville, "Thank you for your service to the world and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You all are a blessing. I enjoy your programming and music. May the Lord bless all your efforts by opening the hearts of those that hear and to accept our Lord as their Savior."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Of course, this is the Front Porch.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The unconditional promises of God to Abraham goes beyond the nation of Israel. We ended with that. It comes through the nation of Israel, but it extends to all the families of the earth today. And it will cover all the families of the earth tomorrow, through the millennial reign, and forever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did Abraham know that he would also be the father, or in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One? Well, I found this interesting. In Galatians 3:6, it says this, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through the faith," that's speaking of all the nations of the earth,
mm-hmm.
"through Abraham's seed," not just the Jews, "preached before the gospel unto Abraham." It tells us that God preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all the nations be blessed." But if you look at verse 16, it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." I think Abraham probably knew that he was destined to be in the lineage of Christ. And if you look at what Jesus himself told the religious leaders in John 8:56, Jesus confronted them, trying to prove who he was, and they said, And they didn't believe that Jesus was the I Am. Jesus says, "Your father, Abraham," now they would listen to that because they considered Abraham their father, which he was, "Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. That's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, and he saw it and was glad.
Mm.
Wow. So whether Abraham knew it or not, and people could argue about that, I guess, Abraham's son, speaking of Jesus Christ, has blessed the entire world. How's he done that? By dying for the world's sins.
Amen.
Just as God told Abraham he would in Galatians 3:8, where we are told God preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Okay, that was what Jesus did on the cross, is blessing for all the nations. So, all right, so let's go through the early generations of Christ, beginning in Matthew 1:3, Brian. I'll have you read them. No, not really.
Well, hey, if you want me to, I can go over and look them up.
And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom. Esrom begat Aram. Aram begat Abinadab. Abinadab begat Nahson. Nahson begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. Okay. That's the early generations of Christ. But Jesse is where the hinge pin of the lineage takes a turn. Jesse happened to be the father of David, who was mentioned in the very first verse.
Okay.
It's what we call the royal generations of Christ, beginning in verse 6. It says, and Jesse begat David the king, mm-hmm. and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begat Rehoboam, Rehoboam begat Abiah, Abiah begat Asa, Asa begat Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat begat Joram, Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Joatham. And Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias. And Ezekias begat Manasseh, Manasseh begat Amon, Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon.
Okay.
Those are the royal generations. And this is where it comes to an end. Because the southern kingdom of Judah, as did the northern kingdom of Israel, they totally forsook God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, beginning in Matthew 1:12, covers this period of time. Covers the Babylonian captivity, well, labor there in Babylon, through the return of the Jews to their land after that captivity, that was 70-year mm-hmm. captivity, through a zeal of rebuilding the temple and Jerusalem, and it was also followed by another callousness towards God as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And then a 400 years of God not speaking to the children of Israel at all through any prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 12 says this, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel begat Abiud, Abiud begat Eliakim, Eliakim begat Azor, Azor begat Zadok, Zadok begat Achim, Achim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. In verse 16, I want you to look at Joseph. Do we see Joseph, which says was the husband of Mary, begetting anyone in this lineage here, in this particular lineage? No, we don't.
Mm.
We see Joseph was the husband of Mary, but who begat Jesus? We said it before, the Holy Ghost. That was God fulfilling the promises made to both Abraham and David mm-hmm. when that happened. Verse 17 continues with, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away to Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away to Babylon unto Christ, and that's talking about the birth of Christ,
mm-hmm.
our 14 generations. This is the genealogy of Israel's eternal king. And also, it doesn't say it here, wouldn't allude to it here, it would in Luke, mm-hmm. it would be the genealogy of the world's eternal king. a king who was promised to the nation of Israel even before they became a kingdom, a king the nation of Israel is still looking for today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get into Matthew 1:18, this is at the very end of the genealogy, and this is what Matthew 1:18 says. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. So we are back to at that point of the birth of Jesus Christ. But before we get there, we need to look, I do believe, at events that lead up to this point between the genealogies and the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. There are a lot of events before the birth of Jesus Christ that I think mm-hmm. we should look at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we shared them before in times past, especially in the Christmas season, mm-hmm. because you will see a lot of details before the birth of Christ mm-hmm. in the Christmas season. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah told the Jewish nation this, that one day in the future their Messiah would appear to them. But before he would appear to them, there would be a voice
mm-hmm.
that would come out from beyond the cities and the towns of Israel. This voice would be found in the wilderness. It's a particular voice, and it would herald his coming. Who's that speaking of, Brian?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, that's okay. Right. Isaiah 43 tells us, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And the word Lord that Isaiah used here in the Hebrew means Jehovah, okay? So we had 400 years in this genealogy. The last 400 years, there's complete silence from any prophet of God. And now we see another prophet arises, and he is saying this, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's speaking to the Jewish people at this time. Mm-hmm. And that's where we'll pick up when we come back.
Yeah, Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope. Well, hey, Johnny, I heard a very special friend of yours lost her husband recently.
That's right. I'll call her Rosa. She's really struggling, having lost her husband, I guess about 3, maybe 4 months ago. They had no clue he was in danger of a massive heart failure. He appeared completely healthy, never complained of chest pain. But then one night, right before bedtime, Rosa left their room to get a drink, and when she came back, her husband was flat out on the floor. She rushed to revive him, yelling to their 3 children. One of them called 911. Medics arrived within minutes, but hard as they tried, there was no heartbeat, no pulse. He was gone. And Rosa could only wail and hold and hug her children and rock. The next morning when we got word, Ken and I immediately drove to see Rosa to somehow bring her comfort. But I tell you, my friend was utterly inconsolable. Her grief was so enormous. And so Ken and I just were just there praying, and occasionally I quietly sang a few hymns. Now, as I said, this all happened a few months ago. And I have to say, in that time, Rosa is no longer inconsolable. She is mourning the loss of her precious husband in a way that God would want her to mourn. Rosa, though, has anchored herself to the Word of God. She is holding fast to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14, where the Apostle Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." Don't you love that promise? And Rosa does too. She's not grieving the wrong way, without hope, as if she would never see her loved one again. She is grieving, that is, Rosa is still crying. She's still often blindsided by huge pangs of loss, but that's to be expected. You know, Randy Alcorn, in his wonderful little book, Grieving with Hope, puts it this way. He says, quote, "Grieving while embracing Christ's rock-solid promise of his second coming and a resurrection and that of all who love him, that is the right way to grieve. A grieving father wept as he told me. He said, 'Randy, I will never again hug my daughter.' And I asked him, 'Don't you believe in the resurrection?' And he said, 'Of course.' And Randy responds, But the resurrection means you'll hug your daughter again and again. Those who believe in the resurrection will grieve while consoling themselves that they will forever be with their Redeemer and their loved ones. Even Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 24, quote, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Now, friend, that tells me that our resurrection bodies will follow the model of Christ when he rose from the dead, and that glorious day is not far off. You know, these are the sorts of Bible passages that Rosa is pouring into her heart and into her mind. And anchoring yourself to the Bible, believe me, it's the right way. It is the best way to grieve. This Saturday, August 30th, is National Grief Awareness Day. And I'd love to send you Randy Alcorn's booklet, Grieving with Hope. So go to johnnyradio.org and request your gift. It's my present to you today, so visit johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Also in Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools." A lady once came to Billy Sunday and tried to rationalize her angry outburst. "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper," she said. "I blow up and then it's all over." "So does a shotgun," Sunday replied, "and look at the damage it leaves behind." Do you ever blow up? I can only answer for me, and I can sadly say yes. I found, though, with my mind on heaven and set firmly in His Word, the Holy Spirit controls me. I encourage you today to turn that vent-up anger into praise to the Lord. Try it. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. Remember, the world needs King Jesus.
This station has really helped keep me grounded and keeps me looking up.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
It's honestly changed my life.
All right. Before the break, we were talking about some prophecies of Isaiah. And I think we asked this question: who was the voice Isaiah was talking about who would cry from the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord"? Well, it was John the Baptist's voice. Mm-hmm. And then who was the Lord John the Baptist was preparing the way for? Well, we're in the genealogy of Jesus, and of course it is Jesus. That's mm-hmm. who he was preparing the way for. Isaiah said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," and we know it was Jesus, so that's another proof that this physical man that was born in the stable in Bethlehem, Jesus, which John pointed to and declared to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world that day at the River Jordan, mm-hmm. is also the Lord Jehovah God himself. Mm-hmm. And that's what John declared. As Isaiah 43 continues, "Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Wow. When John the Baptist's father, now we're going to go back to prior to Jesus' birth, which will take us up to Jesus' birth, probably not by the end of this program, but we'll pick it up, Lord willing, next Wednesday. When John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, saw an angel in the temple when he was burning incense, was he troubled? Was he fearful? Yes, he was. He was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, what are the first two words angels usually say to men who see angels? Fear not.
Fear not, yeah.
Fear not, Zacharias. That's what he said to him. That was the first words. For thy prayer is heard. Okay? Mm-hmm. So part of Zacharias' job as a Levitical priest was to make many prayers and supplications for his people. He happened to be, by lot, the priest chosen to burn the incense at that particular time. But all the time, who was ever in the temple, they were praying. They were mm-hmm. making supplications for Israel, the people of Israel. So, but the angel said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer," not prayers, but "thy prayer is heard." So we have to ask ourselves what prayer of Zacharias was heard in heaven and warranted an angel to come to earth and tell him it was heard and also answered. Well, we can find that in Luke 1:13, because this is what the angel tells Zacharias. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.
Mm-hmm.
So, along with the prayer of Israel's deliverance and cleansing that Zacharias would be ceremoniously praying for during the lighting of the incense and during his servitude in the temple for a week, it seems there was also a continual prayer that Zacharias lifted up to God. This is probably a daily prayer, maybe three times daily. For all these years, Zacharias was praying this. The prayer the angel came to tell Zacharias was heard and will be answered is that Elizabeth would be blessed to have a son. And what makes this so miraculous is they were both, young age or yep. middle age? No, they were a very great age, yep. is what we're told. John the Baptist, this is pretty cool, just a little extra. John the Baptist was one of seven people in the Bible named before his birth. First, there was Ishmael, then Isaac, then Solomon, then King Josiah. And this is really intriguing. Josiah was named 325 years before his birth.
Wow.
You can find that in 1 Kings 13:2. Wow. And then Cyrus, he was the one that signed the decree to go back and rebuild the temple. He was named 175 years before he was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see here John the Baptist was number six. And who do you suppose number seven was? It's this very biblical number, a number of completion. Who would that be?
I believe that would be Jesus.
That would be Jesus, right. That's mm-hmm. right. It's cool how God does that. Seven, yeah. and Jesus is the seventh, you know. It just brings full completion mm-hmm, to this. Mm-hmm. The angel went on to say in Luke 1:14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth.
Mm-hmm.
For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, he's not going to be great among the Jewish leaders.
Yeah.
But he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he's going to do that. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's what John says, prepare ye to meet the Lord. And Zacharias' first words are recorded in verse 18 of Luke 1. Whereby shall I know this? In other words, in today's terms, how shall I know this, angel? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. So we see here that Zacharias was asking for a sign from the angel because he didn't believe what he heard.
Yeah.
Now, how do we know that's what he was asking? Well, because the angel verifies this. The angel answering said unto him this, and I just picture this scene. When the angel is talking to this priest who's supposed to be a great, wise, understanding, well-versed leader of Israel,
mm-hmm.
the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. That should be enough. This is the same angel who appeared to Daniel in the Old Testament. And Zacharias, surely as a priest, mm-hmm. read and heard about the angel Gabriel in the scrolls and in the parchments. And Gabriel says this, I stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, and this is why we know Zacharias was asking for a sign. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Why? Because thou believest not my words, Okay. The angel Gabriel told Zacharias this, because thou believest not my words. And then he goes on to say, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Or in other words, they shall be fulfilled just as I told you they will be. In other words, when God says it will be done, what? It will.
It will be done.
It will be done.
Yeah.
And this angel who stands in the presence of God went to Zacharias and straightened him out. Pretty good. So while Zacharias was inside with the angel, crowds of priests and other worshipers would be gathered outside this temple. And it would be in the court of the Israelites, some in the other courts that surrounded the most holy place. This kind of reminds me of when they're selecting a pope in the Vatican. They're looking for that smoke to come up.
Mm-hmm.
There they watch for the smoke of the incense. And when they saw that it ascended out of the holy place, they also would begin praying for Israel's deliverance. Okay, mm-hmm. This was the custom. When the smoke would appear from the inner room where Zacharias was, or whoever the priest was, there were courses every week. There was a different course. The crowds would begin to pray outside in the courts.
Mm-hmm.
The smoke symbolizes what? When we look into the Revelation, we see the smoke ascending up to God. It symbolizes prayers. It symbolizes the prayers ascending to the throne room of God in heaven. And the worshipers would continue to pray until the chosen priest, in this case, Zacharias, would complete his duties. And then the chosen priest would come out and bless them with the Aaronic blessing. And we find that in Numbers 6, 24 through 26, where it says this, Brian. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And after this priestly blessing, the people were then allowed to return to their homes. Which brings us to verse 21 of Luke 1. And the people waited for Zacharias. They waited and waited and waited. And they marveled that he tarried so long. And when he did come out, they perceived that something happened to Zacharias because mm-hmm. he could not speak to them. So, Father, we will pick this up next Wednesday, Lord willing. But we thank you for our time together. We thank you for this review of the genealogy that we find in Matthew. And we thank you, Lord, as we go through the review of the events that occur before the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. It's a great story. It's a beautiful story. And it just fulfills so many prophecies. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the agent of our salvation. Thank you, God the Father, for being the orchestrator of it all. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening eyes and ears for people to see the truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.